Should we even care about America? I mean, aren't we all going to go to heaven? Aren't we all citizens of heaven? If we're citizens of heaven, should we even care to be citizens of a country like the United States of America?
Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Worldview Matters. You heard a little bit from the trailer of a brand new book. The book is right here in my hand, Your Greatest Patriotic Duty, from our brother Claude Stauffer. And the and Making America Truly Great, that the subtitle is almost as important as the title itself, because it begs the question, how do we make America truly great? And what does that mean? So we're going to bring in our brother. And if you want to go to his website, calvarychapelofhope.org. His blog site is shepherdofhope.org. And his book is available on Amazon, Your Greatest Patriotic Duty. Brother Claude, good to see you again. Thanks for the book.
Good to see you, David. It's always a blessing, and it's a privilege to be on your program.
Well, thanks for your time, and thanks for putting this out. You mentioned, in fact, I want to go back to an email you sent me, if I could share, and then I want you to elaborate on how you really believe that this God put this on your heart. You said, my heart was poured out into the book. I have such a burden for our nation. And you said, I believe this is heaven sent. Please keep it in prayer. We have such a great opportunity before us. I'm praying we go beyond political revival to a spiritual gospel revival. So please just expound on that a little bit.
Well, the impetus for the book, or the situation that the book grew out of, was the night that President Trump was declared the victor in the presidential election, the day after my daughter-in-law sent me a video clip of a group of Trump followers who spontaneously broke out in singing a cappella, "How Great Thou Art." And I just, you know, I thought to myself, I was very pleased with the outcome of the election, but I was struck to the heart with the possibility that maybe this political revival, this political movement that we see happening in our nation, maybe it would go to something deeper and more eternal in worth, maybe spreading to a real spiritual revival. And that's really what we need. As we were mentioning earlier, David, in our conversation leading up to the interview, you know, you commented 80% of Christians are really not involved, or at least not extensively involved, or as involved as they should be in the public square. And that's really tragic, because, for instance, Benjamin Franklin, one of our founding fathers, you wouldn't call him a paragon of Christianity, but he said that only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. Who better than to assure or move the populace towards virtue than Christians, right? And that's what I'm praying for, that we go beyond the mere horizontal political advancements and victories that we're experiencing to a more vertical and eternal revival, heaven-sent revival for our nation.
So you wrote chapter 4 on the Jeremiah 18 hope for America. I think the last time we had you on, we touched on that a little bit, because you wrote a blog on that, if I remember correctly. Yeah. So for those that didn't see that, read the blog or see that episode with you, explain what that is. That's chapter 4 in your book.
Well, oftentimes people will refer to 2 Chronicles 7:14 yes. as a basis for hope for our nation. But really, when you look at the historical context of that verse, it was at the dedication of the temple and words prayed by King Solomon particularly for Israel. Now, in principle, we might have some hope there, but probably a more A more valid basis for hope for our nation would be in Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 5 through 11, where in the Jeremiah's wording, he says that if a nation or a kingdom that has been targeted by God for judgment because of their sinfulness, if they turn right from their sin, that the Lord would relent and hold back his judgment. And the converse is also true. If a nation that is blessed turns away from the Lord will withhold his blessings. So really that verse, I think, is much more applicable for our nation. And really what we're seeing now is our nation is really in the balance. Which way is it going to go?
Yeah.
You know, we just recently had a few individual elections, one in Wisconsin. And again, turnout was not what it ought to have been. As Christians, we need to be consistent, and we need to get up and go a little bit and get involved in the political process so that we can move this nation towards virtuousness, towards righteousness, to be salt and light. That's really what, you know, loving your neighbor as yourself, this all falls under that umbrella, you know, the second greatest commandment.
That's right. And voting, people have to make this connection. Friends, and I know most people in our audience probably do, that voting, you're voting for someone that's going to represent your community, your state, your district, your state, and your country. And that includes legislation and laws that you're going to abide by, that are going to be in your public schools right down the street from your house and everywhere else. So that, yeah, if you do love your neighbor, you will care about what kind of morality is legislated. Now, in that chapter 4 of your book, I want to read a quote from someone I hadn't heard of. So maybe you can explain who Martha Gellhorn is. You said she's one of the first female war correspondents. She was a novelist, and I want to quote her from your book, Your Greatest Patriotic Duty, on page 68. She said, "People often say with pride, I'm not interested in politics. They might as well say, I'm not interested in my standard of living, in my health, my job, my rights, my freedoms, my future, or any future. If we mean to keep any control over our world and lives, we must be interested in politics." So, brother, I know we've talked about this before, but again, a lot of the church is just not up to speed, informed, discerning, and engaged. Go ahead.
You know, many people are under the mistaken notion that our country is just a pure democracy. And that's really an inaccurate appraisal of the governmental system of our nation. Our nation is a federal republic that has three branches of government that are meant to keep checks and balances. But the power in our nation is not vested in a president or a king or even in our legislators as much as it is in the voting of the people. The people who are in power, the people who are in positions of authority, are supposed to be public servants. Because of the lack of term limits, we have career politicians, which were never really the intent of the founding fathers. And as a result, we see what's happened with that. We see politicians that are enriching themselves at the expense of the citizen who is supposed to be in control or the main influence in our nation. We're a federal republic. So when you don't vote and you complain, you really don't have any basis for complaint because you're not assuming the responsibility that you have been given. I truly believe, you know, I love our Constitution. I love our Declaration of Independence. I love our system of government. It's a wonderful thing. But and I believe it's heaven sent. I don't believe it's inspired, but I do believe that it's a gift from God. And especially we as Christians who are living in this nation, we have such a responsibility, and we have such an opportunity to tremendously influence society for righteousness' sake, and in the process, bring glory to our Lord.
Amen. And in the second half of the podcast today, we are going to talk a little bit more about revival. And I've got a great quote from R.A. Torrey, because that's where we're headed, friends. We need the church to get revived. But back on page 58, you mentioned a quote, and I thought, Claude, brother, I thought it was me. I seriously, I've said this, or something almost exactly. You said, you read this on social media recently, quote, "If Christians are not engaged with politics, decisions will be made by people who think God is irrelevant or doesn't exist, and the truth of God's word does not exist or doesn't matter." And that is absolutely true, but that's what we're seeing in our country. And before we go on, we need, again, how to make America truly great. I'm going to ask you, what does that mean? Because that word truly, because, you know, you ask a Christian, a conservative, a Republican, an independent, you ask someone in our government, maybe on you know, in Trump's cabinet, what does that mean to make America great? Well, what about truly great from a biblical worldview perspective? You have some bullet points I want to share on page 58, 59. Briefly, I'll try to skim through these. You said, "I will vote for the most pro-life candidate because God hates the shedding of innocent blood and we are all fearfully and wonderfully made." Now, for every one of these bullet points, you provide scriptures. This is excellent. This should go in a blog too, my friend, if you haven't already, because people make the points. And then if you can back it up with scripture, then Christians who are kind of so-so or non-committal or maybe not engaged, they'll look that, maybe they'll be convicted. And I'll just go through these briefly. I will vote for the most pro-Israel candidate. I will vote for the most pro-debt reduction candidate. I will vote for the most pro-work candidate. I will vote for the most pro-marriage candidate. I will vote for the most for the candidate who most closely believes the role of government is to reward the good and punish evil. And then I will vote for the candidate that most closely aligns with these areas and the Word of God. Please share a little bit more on any one of these or just some of these ideas.
Well, ultimately, as a Christian, as far as I can see, at least the brand of Christian that I believe in, God's Word is our prime authority.
Amen.
It's not our authority is not vested in any person other than Jesus Christ, who is the head of his church. And we know that he's the head of the church based on what he has revealed to us in scripture. So it's very important for us as Christians to live out God's word. Now many Christians have fallen prey to the bogus claim of the separation of church and state. That's not something that's written into our Constitution. It's not in our Declaration of Independence. It was merely a letter that it was merely a phrase excerpted or taken out of a letter by Thomas Jefferson. And in the letter, the gist of the letter was to protect the church from the state. And it was totally taken and manipulated, that phrase, separation of church and state, to justify or to excuse Christians from being involved in the political process. And I think that that's part of our last day's deception. Right? There is no such thing as separation of church and state. As a Christian, you can't separate your Christianity from who you are, right? In the power of the Holy Spirit, we should be infiltrating and influencing our nation for the glory of God. And I don't think we should be at all bashful or shy about who we are as Christians, right? But we have the truth.
Yeah,
we're going to be in a couple of weeks. We're going to be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which distinguishes Jesus from every other religious leader of any other religion. Amen. No one else rose from the dead. We have that kind of truth. We have the power of the resurrection at our disposal. We need to be using it.
Amen, brother. And we've strayed so far from how we were founded, because this idea of removing Christian influence from the public square, it's insane. But our founding fathers would be thinking, what kind of country do you want then if you don't want God, his righteousness, the Bible, Ten Commandments, you know, holiness, you know, the people that believe and try to live that out, make society better. But it's the idea that you mentioned. The idea is the separation of Christianity and state. That's what the left has been working at. That's what they've been successful at doing. And for the last several decades, We've lost a lot of ground. So we've got a good administration. I don't care what you think about President Trump's personality at the moment. And I wouldn't even call this a reprieve. I don't like to use that word. We've got a lot of work to do because the evil has been entrenched for many decades. We've got a lot to do, but that's why I wanted to bring Claude on to talk about this book. What? When we come back, I'm going to have him answer the question. What does he mean by making America truly great? We'll be right back.
Introducing Patriot Mobile, the wireless carrier that stands with you. We are committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. With affordable plans and reliable nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless service. It's a call to action for those who believe in the American dream.
Get free activation now with promo code David. Hey, listeners, viewers, thank you so much for following us and subscribing to all of our platforms. Remember, you can go to any platform you like the most, Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, Apple, all these different podcasts, audio, video. And we have a new, within the last 2 or 3 months, YouTube channel that's Worldview Matters, David Fiorazzo. And if you missed any of the episodes with your favorite guest, or you want to look back and watch past episodes, go to worldviewmatters.tv. And in the search, just type in your favorite pastor or guest, and then you'll see all of their podcasts. Okay? Claude Stauffer, we asked the question, what interpret this for us. What does that mean? To make America truly great, because everybody has a different definition of greatness as a nation.
Well, you know, I'm not willing as a Christian to settle for merely a horizontal political movement or revival, so to speak. I want something that's of lasting impact. I want something that's eternal. I want something that's going to truly make America great in the sense that it becomes an example to the world of what happens when a nation returns to God. What happens when the Lord takes over? Now, I wouldn't classify myself as a Christian nationalist. I love my nation, but if my nation is doing something wrong, I'll call our nation on it. But I won't destroy the nation. I won't blow it up because I disagree with something it's doing. I will constructively work to bring change. And I think that's what we as Christians are to do. We're to be salt, we're to be light, and we're to infiltrate and influence this nation.
So I want to go now to the idea of revival. Now, we talk a lot about it, probably not enough, because, you know, there are a lot of podcasts out there. There are a lot of pastors online, on YouTube, and their church services are streamed. And I don't hear a lot or enough, in my opinion, about true revival and what that looks like. So you quoted R.A. Torrey on page 77 of your book, and I just want to share part of it and just to have you just share your heart on it even more. He said, the greatest need of the church today is a general, widespread, deep, thorough, genuine revival. That is also the greatest need of business, the greatest need of human society, the greatest need of human government, the greatest need of international relations, the greatest need of missions. In every department of life today, he writes, business, social relations, politics, international relations, education, and the church, we are facing the most menacing problems and the most important crises that have confronted the human race in centuries. In fact, in human history, since the incarnation of God in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, and the birth of the church, which was the outcome of that incarnation, the only hope of the church is a great revival or revolution throughout the civilized world. Share more on that, Claude.
Well, it's interesting that when you look at R.A. Torrey, even back then, early in the 20th century, he recognized the danger of communism, of a godless government. And he knew he was a contemporary of D.L. Moody. And, these are great men of the Lord who really, truly prayed for, received, experienced, and ministered in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he did not put restrictions on where we as Christians should be involved. And I'm following right after R.A. Torrey in that regard. I think we should be involved in everything, in everything in our society. You know, when you look at our nation historically, and what the what was going on when our nation was birthed back in the 18th century, in the 1700s, from the early 1700s to the mid 1700s, the colonies experienced part of what was called the Great Awakening, the First Great Awakening. And if you go back and you read about the First Great Awakening, it was an incredible move of the Holy Spirit, born by people who saw the decadence and the depravity and the sinfulness and the despair of colonists, and began to pray. And the Lord just poured out his Spirit incredibly. And the fruit of that revival was the Declaration of Independence and the birth of the United States of America. And we need to get back to our roots periodically throughout history. You know, the Second Great Awakening, other different awakenings have taken place. But in the time that we're living now, in right now, in the present, we need another revival. And we need, as a church, first we begin with prayer, we seek the Lord, and then we begin to ask the Lord to open doors of opportunity for us to minister wherever we are, right? We can't all be a pastor, but whether you're a policeman or a teacher or a doctor or an automobile worker or a mother or a father, whoever you are, to begin to function as vibrant, spirit-filled Christians. Mm. That's what we need as a nation. You know, the quote that I gave from Benjamin Franklin at the beginning of our interview about only a virtuous people is capable of freedom. You know, there's a reason why in the last 50 years or so, or 100 years or so, we've seen this incredible decadence, like a flood coming in upon us, attacking the family, attacking marriage, attacking morals left and right, just perversion, everything. Yeah. Why is that? It's because of the truth of what Franklin said. Only a virtuous people is capable of freedom. We've been blessed with incredible freedom. We were sons of liberty, blessed us in incredible ways. The Lord blessed us through them. And the only way we can lose it is if we stray too far from the virtues that God would have us live in.
That's right. And we have, but we've got to get back to that. So I just want to ask you about chapter 8 briefly, leveling mountains. That means that in my idea, I just read that and I go, wow, there must be a lot of work for the church to do, to level mountains. What kind of mountains, and what's that chapter about?
Well, the Apostle Peter in his epistle speaks about judgment begins in the house of the Lord. And I think one of the first mountains that have to be moved is we have to move Christians off of their couches. You know, there's the familiar phrase, to be a Christian couch potato. Christians, we cannot afford to be Christian couch potatoes. We need to get up, and we need to be active. We need to be seeking the Lord, and we need to be seeking the salvation of the lost. We need to be sharing the gospel. And if we're unfamiliar with how to do that, then we need to be seeking and training, right? And praying and relying on the Holy Spirit to use us in whatever way that he sees fit.
There's a lot of scripture throughout your book. Thank you. I mean, there's plenty. And I like that, because the points that you make, and then you share scripture, the Word of God can speak to people's hearts and maybe bring some conviction. But before we run out of time, is there anything else you want to share? Your book is on Amazon, Your Greatest Patriotic Duty. Is that the best place for people to pick it up, Claude?
Yeah, on Amazon, it's available in hardcover, paperback, Kindle, as well as audio. So if you like to listen to something in the car, pick up a copy, an audio copy of the book. But in terms of what I would say, I would just, you know, I just have a burden on my heart for us in the time in which we live. I believe we're living in the last days. Yes. I believe Jesus could break through those clouds at any moment, and he would remove his church. I truly and genuinely believe that. So I believe the time is short. And we've had this recent political victory, And there's such a tremendous opportunity here for us as Christians to begin to get involved and be engaged. And, you know, in my book, I talk about revival. In my book, I talk about the importance of voting and everything, as you mentioned, everything that I speak. I always try to give a scriptural basis for whatever I do. I want to be a man of the word. You know, John Wesley said he was a man of one book, the Bible. Mm. And I think as Christians, we need to be men and women of one book, the Bible. In our churches, we need to get back to teaching the Word of God expositionally. Mm. And everything we do should be guided by the Word of God. If we do that, the Lord is going to lead us. The Word of God is the language of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God.
Amen. This, friends, good point. The Bible has to be our final authority. We have to be living by this book. The Word is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. So with that, Claude, in the last 2 minutes, you closed the book with a prayer. I thought that was a great way to end. And I would love to ask right now for you to pray for our viewers, for our nation, whatever you prayed for the United States for revival. You can even read that prayer at the end of the book, or just pray whatever's on your heart right now, please.
I'll do that. I'll read the final prayer that I concluded the book with.
Amen.
Father, we come to you in Jesus' name on behalf of our nation, the United States of America. Father, we confess our nation is sinful in many ways. Help us to repent and turn from our wickedness. Our hope and prayer are that you continue to be long-suffering and merciful to us. Father, you have shed your grace on us. Help us to be forever thankful for that. We pray for the lost souls of our nation, that you would save them. We pray the gospel of Jesus Christ would be the power of salvation throughout our land. We pray you would make your presence known to us and through us. Please make us strong in you. Father, in your Son Jesus' name and in the leading of the Holy Spirit, we pray you would make us what we need to be, to do what you call us to do for your glory until your Son Jesus returns. Father, any greatness we have comes from you. Please revive us, heal us, enlighten us, help us to do your will. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's my heartfelt prayer. That is my heartfelt prayer. And I pray if this book does anything, I just pray with light of fire in our heart, for our nation, and for our Lord.
Amen, brother. God save America and revive the church. Friends, thank you for watching, listening. His website, shepherdofhope.org. The book, hardcover, Your Greatest Patriotic Duty. Brother, thanks for your time. Always good to have you. Friends, God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.